Okay. We give out medals for those who stay to the end of the program. It's a long weekend. Right? We need... Okay. Yashu Koach. Okay. Achron Achron Chavriv. Rav Neuwirth, Ronen Neuwirth, is the head of the overseas department of Tzohar. I think, I don't know who here knows what Tzohar is. It's Tzohar from, I assume they got the name in the Teva last week in Parshat Noach. Tzohar Tasala Teva, right. So it means a window. Noach put a window to the outside world. Tzohar is the rabbinic organization. Rav Lau is involved in it. Sort of Israeli rabbis who want to open up a window to society at large. I'm sorry? Rav Gilad is also part of it. Yeah, we got them all here. They're all in Toronto. To open up windows to the non-observant community in Israel. And I believe he's also affiliated with the Shivat Hesder in Petah Tikva. I know of at least one Toronto boy in the Shiva. And Michael Broyd, who spoke earlier today, has his son is in the yeshiva. And I believe you're also a rabbi in Ranana, which is, I don't know if that's why you know English as well as you do, or you know it from before, but if you live in Ranana, you got to know lots of English. I'm sorry? Closest place to Israel. Near the airport, you can come in and go out. Anyways, Rav Neuwirth flew in from Montreal. He's heading back to Montreal, and he spoke before in Hebrew, but this class, of course, will be in English. And thank you very much. Without further ado.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Kilman. Just before I start, if you mentioned the Tzohar thing, so indeed in last Parsha, last week's Parsha, Parshat Noach, we found this concept of Tzohar. Hashem tells Noach, Tzohar ta'aseh la'teva. There's a dispute between Chachamim, whether Tzohar, one option is even tova, it's like sort of a diamond, of a crystal that's supposed to light, to bring the light from within. And the other option is window. Because maybe that is the source of the dispute. It's a dispute of how to deal with a flood, with a marble. There's a marble. It's not just a physical marble. There's awful influence from the outside. And the question is, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the people from the outer world? One approach is to close yourself off. To isolate yourself, to seclude yourself from the people, and to create a new source of light. This is one option. But the other option is that Tzohar is a window. Meaning, yes, you need to escape from the marble, but you leave a window open to the world to see maybe there are people out there that need your help. Maybe you can take the inner light that you have and influence outside. And in that sense, Tzohar, our Tzohar, is window between worlds, exactly as rabbis spoke before in the last panel and symposium about the importance, especially today, to bridge the gaps and to build bridges, to open the window to the people outside. But in any event, this is not the topic of my talk. I wish to try, in the short time that we have, about 50 minutes, to try to, meaning we deal a lot with the Israeli-Arab conflict, but to try to see that conflict in a more spiritual perspective. I mean, this conflict did not start 50 years ago. It did not even start 100 years ago. It started more than 3,000 years ago. In the Parshat we just read, Parshat Lech Lecha, Parshat Vayera, with Ishmael, with Abraham, with Yitzchak. And I want to try to learn the sources, together the sources of the war and the fight that we have with the descendants of Ishmael. And maybe from understanding the sources to derive some conclusions to the present and maybe even for the future. You know, there's one area in the army, or to be more precise, in the intelligence units that is called, in Hebrew it's called Toda, Toda Toyev, or in other words, know your enemy. And whenever you are trying to deal with that, to know your enemy, what will be your interest? Will it be to say that your enemy is weak, is lousy? Or to try to understand that your enemy is strong, is powerful? Well, obviously, the second option will be the option. Because if you want to train the soldiers, if you want to train them properly, they need to understand that they're not fighting with a weak enemy, they're fighting with a strong enemy. And therefore, they need to develop, they need to have the right tools and trainings and weapons in order to win the fight, to win the war. And this is exactly what I want to try to do. You know, we tend many times to underestimate the Palestinians, the Arabs, to tend them as primitive. You know, there's a joke, I don't know if it's running here, it's running in Israel, that a man comes to an Arab boy and is asking him, did you finish university? And he tells him, no, I've got that, just the washroom left. Meaning, did you finish cleaning the university? Anyway, it's not so funny, but we tend to underestimate, to treat them as ignorant, as primitive people. But I think, and that's what we'll try to see according to the sources of Chazal, that of all nations in the world, that is the nation that maybe is the closest nation in their abilities, in their potential to the Jews, to Judaism. You know what? Let's begin from an unbelievable Zohar. It's in the Kabbalah. Zohar on Parshat Va'era. And the Zohar deals with the request of Avram. So in the Parsha, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefanecha. Avram tells Hashem, it's enough to have Ishmael. He can be my descendant. He can continue the way. And Chazal in the Zohar is saying the following. Hashem is promising Avram that Yitzchak will continue the heritage. But then, Avram is asking, but what about Ishmael? Doesn't he deserve anything? What about Ishmael? So Hashem tells Avram, well, Yitzchak does Brit Milah. But Avram tells him, but also Ishmael does Brit Milah. But Hashem tells him, well, it's not the same way. Yitzchak does Brit Milah when he's just 8 days old. Whereas Ishmael is detached from me for 30 years till they do the Brit Milah in the age of 13. The Midrash goes on, and then it gets to the following conclusion in source number one. Let's read the English. Says the Midrash, again, it's in the Zohar. Avram is asking, anyways, give something to Ishmael. And the Zohar says the following. Here's to the time when Ishmael was born to the world and performed Milah. What did Hashem do? Hashem prevented the sons of Ishmael from adherence to the upper one and gave them a part in Eretz Israel. It is true that maybe they cannot reach whatever Yitzchak can reach, but Hashem gave them some sort of compensation. What is the compensation, says the Zohar, almost 1500 years ago? A part in Eretz Israel. Part in the land of Israel. For they had undergone Milah, and the sons of Ishmael will rule the Holy Land for a long while. As long as the land is empty. just like the milah is empty and incomplete. Says the Zohar, they will rule in the land. It was way before the Arabs came to the world, to the land of Israel. And the sons of Ishmael shall delay Bnei Israel from returning to their place until Bnei Ishmael will complete the rightful ruling period. They had a schut, but till the schut will be over, they will have a portion, they'll have a part, they'll have a share in the land of Israel. Again, this was said way before the Arabs even came to the land of Israel. Because there's something deeper. It's not just about territory. It's not just a demographic dispute or fight or war. There's something behind the scenes. And without having the ability to look 3,000 years backwards, we'll not have the ability to really understand what is going on, to find a solution for the present and, most importantly, for the future. And again, we see that the approach of Chazal to Ishmael is extremely respectful. Extremely respectful. It's the only nation in the world that has got some schut in the land of Israel. I brought many midrashim just to give you the sense of the attitude of Chazal to Ishmael, to the Arabs. Source 2 in Masechet Brachot, Ha'roi Ishmael b'chalom, whoever sees Ishmael in his dream. Tfilato nishmat. It's a segula, it's a virtue to hear the tfilot Ishmael. Ishmael is God will hear. Seeing Ishmael is, it's a segula. There's a debate, we won't read it inside, source number 3, between the Amoraim, whether Ishmael is a tzaddik or not. And Rava was the Rav, is so upset at them. How can you say that Ishmael was a sinner? Ishmael is a tzaddik, he made tshuva. Meaning the approach to Ishmael is a very respectful approach. We tend to perceive Ishmael, you know, as the wicked, as the peradam, the wild guy. But Chazal have been in the Midrashim very, extremely respectful to Ishmael. I'll give you another example. Remember the story, we'll read it in Parashat Toldot, with Esav. After Esav saw that he's displeasing his parents with taking two wives from the nation of the Chiti, one of the seven nations living in the land of Israel, which was strictly against the chinuch, the education that they accepted. And he saw that it's causing grief to his parents. What does he do? Now he's trying to show them that he's listening. And he's trying to bring another wife from a good ichus. So where does he go to? Where can he find a good ichus? Family of Ishmael. Makora, source number 4. Bayar Esav kirod not Knan. He saw that they dislike the daughters of Knan. Vayelech Esav el Ishmael. So he goes to Ishmael again. And Ishmael is a tzaddik. Vayikach et machalat bad Ishmael. He takes the daughter of Ishmael in order to try to please his parents. So Ishmael is considered a tzaddik. Even more so. And maybe that is where everything begins. Chazal are standing in a midrash. Again, an amazing, amazing midrash. Source number 5. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Let's read the English of the midrash. Bilam said, from among 70 nations created by Hashem, the only one whose name includes the name of God is Israel. We have in our name the name of God, Israel. El. However, since God equated the name of Ishmael with the name of Israel, who to anyone who lives in his time as is written, who is to one who lives when this takes place? Says the Midrash, what is the power, what is the strength of Ishmael? It's the only nation out of 17 nations that we have in our tradition that carries the name of God except for Am Israel. Ishmael. No other nation. Look through the Torah. No other nation carries the name of God. It's the only one. So there is some sort of competition taking place between Israel and Ishmael. And maybe this is what Chazal are trying to teach us to begin with. Before we even start in the session of know your enemy, you need to realize that Ishmael might be your strongest enemy because he has virtues that no other nation has. Let's try step by step to build a picture. Again, according to the sources. We're not speaking any politics. Everything is we're not speaking about halacha. Just the sources, the midrashim, the psukim, to try to see what is standing behind the conflict. As I mentioned before, I wish to claim that there is some sort of a competition between Yitzhak and Ishmael. Even more so, we'll see in a second that almost everything that happened to Yitzhak happened as well to Ishmael. Lots of similarities. Let's begin. Who named Ishmael? Well, it's Hagar, but not exactly. Because who told her to name Ishmael that way? Hashem, the Malach, the angel. Right, source number 6. Vayomer la Malach Hashem, hinech harav yoladet ben vekarat shmo Yisrael. It's a name that was given from Hashem. Like whom? Like? Who named Yitzchak? It's Avram, but again, the commandment came from Hashem. Source number 7, again, it's almost the very same thing. Vayomer Elokim, aval Sarai ishtecha yoledet ben, vekarata et shmo Yitzchak. Hashem is instructing Avram to name his son Yitzchak. They are the only ones who receive their names from Hashem, and therefore, they are the only ones who their names did not change. Like Avram, his name was changed. It was Avram and became Abraham. Yaakov, his name was changed from Yaakov to Israel. Yitzchak and Ishmael stayed with their names because Hashem named them. And by the way, this is again what Chazal is saying about the virtue of Ishmael. You can see it in the Midrash in source number 8. That there are one, Yitzchak and Ishmael are of the four people that Hashem named them. And by the way, they are considered tzaddikim. As we said before, Ishmael is part of this category of tzaddikim. Let's continue. So we spoke about, first of all, about the similarity in the way they were named. We mentioned before the Brit Milah. That both of them, Yitzchak and Ishmael, and that's the debate of Abraham with Hashem, both of them are doing Brit Milah. But it's not just the Brit Milah. As we saw in the Zohar, there's a connection between the Brit Milah to the land, to ruling the land. By the way, it's not just the Zohar. It's explicit in the Psukim. Let's see the Psukim for a second. Source number 9. Hashem is telling Avram, Vakimoti et briti beni uvenecha venzarcha harecham. Now establishing the covenant between me and you and your descendants. And what is my part in the covenant? V'natati lecha ulezarcha harecha et eretz megurecha. I'm giving you this land, this eretz Knan, this land of Knan, which will be in the future land of Israel. But you have your part in the covenant, in this agreement. And what is your part? Ve'ata et briti tishmor. What is briti? Which brit? Which covenant? ואת מי לא? אתה וזרחך לדורותם? And Chazar is saying this in the Midrash, Sorza Beten, ונתתי לך מכאן שלא ירשו ישראל את ארץ כנען, אלא בזכות המילה. Meaning that Brit Milah is something that gives you right on the land of Israel. So again, both of them were named by Hashem, both of them are doing Brit Milah, and therefore both of them have some portion in the land of Israel. We need to see, however, that Yitzchak has some sort of an advantage over Ishmael. Like with the naming, who named Ishmael? The Malach, the angel. Who named Yitzchak? Hashem, directly. Okay, we saw with the Brit Milah that even though Ishmael has some portion, even though he's doing the Brit Milah, it's not as Yitzchak is doing. And it's clear that Yitzchak is continuing the way. But in that way, in that sense, sorry, is trying, there is a competition, but Yitzchak's a little bit ahead. Let's see more similarities. We all know about the Akedah, that Yitzchak led to the Akedah, was almost killed. But something we tend to either forget or neglect is that Ishmael also had some sort of an Akedah, which was also a test for Abraham. And let's see the Psukim, we'll see that the Psukim are exactly the same. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, where is it said Vayashkem Avraham Baboker? Well, of course, with the Akedah. But not only with the Akedah, but also with the story of expelling Ishmael and Hagar. Let's see it in source number 14. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. By the way, what's the meaning when the Torah is trying to tell us Vayashkem Avraham, he had to rise up early, that it's a struggle. He had a struggle, but he was able to stand and to confront this test, and therefore he woke up early, without any delaying. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, but for what reason this time? Is expelling, as Hashem told him, Hagar and Ishmael to the desert without any chance to survive. Meaning he knows, in his notion, that he's now sending them to death, especially Ishmael. His young lads. He's got no chance to survive in the desert. And he's almost dying, exactly as what happened to Yitzchak. And what happened in the last minutes? He was saved. How was he saved? By Ishmael Lokim, Hashem turns to Agar, as Hashem with the Malach turned to Avram. Al tiri ki shama Elokim el kol anar, and then vayifkach Elokim et enea. Hashem opens her eyes, and all of a sudden she sees something. She sees the well. What happened to Avram in the Akedah? The same story. Hashem opens his eyes and he sees the ram.
Does Ishmael have an advantage now because Hashem is directly speaking to Hagar when there was only a Malach that spoke to Ram?
We see. If you're asking, so it's still the Malach. Vayishma'el Elokim el kol hanar, God heard, Hashem heard the voice of the lad. Vayikra Malach Elokim. Okay, Malach Elokim is speaking with Hagar. And by the way, how did Avram name the place of the Akedah? He named the place after the sight, the vision. Vayikra Hashem HaMakom Hashem Yireh Hashem Yireh. How is she naming the place Hagar? Be'er Lachai Ro'i. Okay, we see there's something about seeing Hashem. There is similarity. And by the way, Hashem is promising Abraham to increase the descendants of Abraham. And he gives the same promise to Hagar. Everything is exactly the same. There are the psukim. We know how many tribes we have in Israel? 12. Also in Ishmael, u'shnemasar nesi'im. That is the promise of Hashem to Agar. So everything is almost equal, but with slight advantage to Yitzhak. And let's try to understand, after we saw this introduction, that A, Chazal are respecting and understanding and realizing the advantage of Ishmael, and B, that there is some sort of competition, lots of similarities between Ishmael and Yitzhak. Let's try to understand. So what is the source of the competition? What are they competing about? I wish to claim it's all about one word that we'll try to understand. One word that is symbolizing a lot. And this word is kol. Kaf lamed kol. It's one of the codes in the Torah. There are many concepts and words that once you understand what they say, what they represent, you can shed light on many things, many parshiot in the Torah. This is one of these examples of kol. Vashem berach et Avram bakol. Source number 16. Hashem berach et Avram bakol. Hashem bless Avram with bakol. What is bakol? Are you familiar with Chazal? What did they say? What is bakol? There's a machloket whether he had a daughter, he didn't have a daughter, he had a daughter. That's a third opinion, that her name was bakol. What's the idea? What does it matter whether he had a daughter, he didn't have a daughter, her name was bakol? What kind of name is Bakol? Also funny. Says the Ramban. Let's read the Ramban together. By the way, I'm just skipping Mekorot, but everything is there in the Mekorot, like source number 18. It's a Chazal that we mentioned in Baba Batra. Let's see the words of the Ramban. Source number 20. Says Ramban the following. It would be wrong to minimize and limit the great and generalized blessing that Hashem gave to Avram down to a single flesh and blood daughter named Bakol. With all respect, it's great that Avram had a girl, a daughter, but it's minimizing the blessing that Hashem gave Avram. And says Ramban the following. But what the others were saying was something much more profound, that Bakol refers to a midah, to an attribute of Hashem. Called Kol. So called because this attribute is the foundation of everything. This attribute, this midah of Hashem, is the foundation of everything in the world. Ramban brings up a couple of psukim, like Anochi Hashem Oseh Kol, a pasuk from Yeshayahu, Anochi Hashem, I'm creating kol. Again, kol is a code. We'll try to decode this code. Or another pasuk, Itron Eretz, is a pasuk from Kohelet. Itron Eretz Bakol, the advantage of the land here is Bakol. There is a secret, says the Ramban, in this word kol that we need to understand. Ramban is quoting in the psukim. I'm skipping a little bit. That is to say, let's move to the next column. That is to say that all the abundance of the world comes into being because of the smida of Hashem called Kol, making it a source of blessing itself. Says Ramban, this attribute, this smida of Kol, is the source, is the foundation of the world. Let's try to understand what is this midah. By the way, we can see it systematically in the psukim with each one of the avot. Let's skip back to source number 17. psukim that if you read them literally, it doesn't make any sense. Vayiten Avram et kol asher lo liYitzchak, meaning literally, if you understand the pasuk, Avram gave everything to Yitzchak. Okay, so just simple logic. If he gave everything to Yitzchak, does he have anything left? No. So how can we understand the next pasuk? Vilivne apilagshim natan Avram matanot. If you gave everything to Yitzchak, how can you give them presents? How can you give them gifts? Unless we understand that Vayiten Avram et kol asher lo. What is it, kol asher lo? He gave him, he passed on this midah, this attribute of kol. That Yitzchak will also have this midah of kol. In fact, if you remember from Birkat Hamazon, what do we say? Ken evarech otanu bakol mikol kol. What is bakol mikol kol? Again, Midrash, exactly about the same point. Source number 19. Tanu Rabbanan. Shlosha itiman Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam hazeh min olam haba. There are three people that Hashem gave them the chance to foretaste. In this world, the taste of the world to come, olam haba. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram dichtiv ve'bakol. Hashem barach et Avram bakol. Yitzchak dichtiv ve'mikol. We'll see the psukim in a second. Va'ochal mikol. Yaakov dichtiv ve'kol. There is a secret in that world of kol. And I think it's very simple. And that is what the Midrash is saying. What is kol? The ability here in this world, on that planet, to be able to taste, to have the taste of Olam Haba. Again, not in Olam Haba. Being able to see Hashem in Olam Haba, being able to live spiritual lives in Olam Haba, that's not a big wisdom. That's not a big deal. Of course, needless to say, if you don't have your body, you have just your soul, that's the nature of that world. The challenge is to be able to see Hashem here in this world. The Avot were able. They were able to taste the taste of the next world in this world. Let's try to understand again, what does it symbolize? What is the meaning of that? I'll give you a few examples. Let's start with Yitzchak. Let's see the pasuk of Yitzchak of Mikol. Source number 21. It's the pasuk is taking place after Yaakov is bringing what he cooked, and of course he is trying to deceive Yitzchak. We know the story. Vayichad Yitzchak charada gedola ad meod. After he realizes that actually Yaakov deceived him. Vayomer mi efo atzatzaid. Who's the one who's hunting and brought me this tremendous food? Vayaveli, va'ochal mikol. Va'ochal mikol. I ate. From what did I eat? Mikol. What is the meaning of that? Are you familiar with the Midrash? Chazar is saying that when Yaakov brought the food, it had a taste of Gan Eden. They learned this from this pasuk. Meaning, Yitzchak was amazed. Who was able to give me a food, something physical, with a spiritual taste? This is kol. This is the ability to live here normal lives, but to be able to see Hashem here in this world. This is kol. I'll give you another example. It's a dialogue between Esav. Dialogue of Esav and Yaakov, source number 22. Remember the story that Yaakov was escaping from Esav. Bottom line, when they meet, and Esav, Yaakov is seeing all the camp of Esav. Vayomer milecha machane asher pagashti. Sorry, Esav is asking Yaakov, milecha machane asher pagashti. What is this camp? And Yaakov is responding, Limtsochen ben Adoni, in order to find grace in your eyes. Vayomer Esav. So Esav says, I don't need whatever you give me, because Yesh li rav, I have plenty. Again, Esav uses the word Rav Resh Bet. I have plenty. Yaakov responds. I'm skipping one pasuk. Kach na et birchati, take my blessing. Asher ovad li kichanani Hashem, Elokim. Hashem dealt graciously with me, don't worry. Ki yesh li kol. Again, Esav was using the word Rav, plenty. Yaakov is using the word, our secret, yesh li kol, I have everything. How does it make sense? Let's see the Sfat Emet. Amazing. Source number 23. Says the Sfat Emet the following. Apparently, simple math, all is more than plenty, as Esav was saying. But how can a man claim that he is all? Obviously, no one can have everything. Says the Sfat Emet. But whoever discovers the eternal essence in anything he processes, in this world, has awe, has cool. Regardless of whether such a person has plenty or not. Let's explain this part of it. Simple math. Okay, let's take a million and multiply the million by hundreds. What will be the result? 100 million. Okay, let's divide million by 100, whatever. Also have a different result, 10,000. A million is a lot, it's a plenty, but there can be more. Or God forbid, if there's a crisis, there can be less. But let's move to another area in math. Let's take the infinity. Let's multiply infinity by 10, by million. What will be the result? And let's divide it by a million. What will be the result? That's the definition of call. Call meaning that everything that I have here in the world, and that is one of the problems of the world, that everything is eventually expiring. Everything is consuming. Nothing is everlasting. This is, by the way, the frustration of Kohelet. Kohelet is so frustrated. En chadash tachat hashemesh, there is nothing new, everything. No matter what you have, no matter what you achieve, you have plenty, but eventually, nothing is left. It goes to your successor, and you don't know what will happen. You don't have any control on life, and he's so frustrated. Until he realizes, and that is the message of Kohelet, and maybe that's why we read it, Dafkan Sukkot, Vitron Eretz Bakol, there's one advantage in that land, which is Bakol. Meaning, take all the plenty you have, everything you have, and find the spiritual meaning for that in your lives. What's the conclusion of Kohelet? Sof davar, hakol nishma. What is sof davar? What is the conclusion? Listen to hakol, meaning, leave this world, but try to find the meaning to what you have. That is what we do on Sukkot. The problem of Sukkot that we are, that's Chag HaAsif. We're taking everything we gathered. We have so much. We have plenty. But we are trying to bring everything to the Sukkah. To make the plenty whole, everything. To make the Rav call. To try to connect everything we have to the spirituality. To bring meaning to what we have. We can have a million. We can have 2 million. But we want to bring meaning to that. That is the idea of call. To be able here in that world to live normal lives, but to see Hashem. This is call. Okay, so we spoke about this attribute of call that was given to Avram. Hashem berach et Avram b'kol. Avram gave this midah to Yitzchak. Vayiten Avram et kol asher lo liYitzchak. Yitzchak gave this midah to Yaakov. That says, yesh li kol. But what about Ishmael? Okay. So, let's turn the page and see Sfat Emet. Where's the Sfat Emet? Sorry. Yeah. Source number 28. Yes, in the bottom of the... What is the attribute of Ishmael? Yadov Bakol. What is the attribute of Ishmael? Yadov Bakol V'yad Kolbo. He has a touch in this attribute of Kol, but Yad Kolbo. Sfat Emet. Again, in continuation to what we saw before. This is Sfat Emet. Source number 28. Says the Sfat Emet. The words Yadov Bakol imply that Ishmael has a part in the spiritual virtues of Avram. The words Yad Kolbo imply that Ishmael's spiritual virtues are dominated and subdued by Yaakov's spiritual virtues. Again, Ishmael has a touch, Yado Bakol. He understands this midah, but Kol is the midah of Yaakov. There is some sort of an advantage to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. Let's try to bring this idea down to earth. It's very simple. Kol is the ability, as we said, to see Hashem here. By the way, that's also the virtue of the land of Israel. Eretz asher lo techsar kol ba. It's a land where you can see Hashem. From everything you do, from everything you eat, that is the virtue of the land. Ishmael is the only nation. It's the closest religion to Judaism. It's the only religion where there's no Avodah Zarah. Now, there's no, like, for instance, there isn't any halakhic problem to get into a mosque. The virtue of Ishmael is Ishmael. It's the closest religion to Judaism in the ability to understand Hashem here in that world, to be able to see Hashem here in that world. The competition is about Bakol. It's not a competition about the territory. It's not a competition about the demographic issues. It's a fight about revealing Hashem here in the world. By the way, just let's see what happened here in the past couple of years. The government was willing to give them everything. And again, I'm not getting into politics. Just facts. To give them everything. But it didn't help because it's something deeper. You can transfer all the Arabs, but it won't solve the problem because it's not a problem of territory. It's a spiritual problem about revealing Hashem here in the world of Bakol. And that is the land. What is the land of Israel? Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah. The virtue of the land of Israel, Chazar is saying in Masechet Ketubot, Daf Kufyud, Kol adar bechutz la'aretz domeh kemi she'en lo eloka. Whoever lives in chutz la'aretz, considered as one who's got no Hashem, no God. Whoever lives in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, is considered as one who has God. Meaning Israel is a place, is the closest place to Hashem. It's a place where you can reveal Hashem. And that's also the virtue of the Brit Milah. To be able, from your body, to see Hashem, yibsari echeze eloka. To behold Hashem from your body. That is the virtue of the land of Israel. And therefore, Ishmael is the only nation that has the name El in its name. Because that is also what they do. They spread the faith in their own way, which we disagree. But they spread the faith in Hashem Echad, in monotheism, without any son of Avodah Zarah. That is their power. That is their strength. And we need to realize that. Because the competition is about Bakol, about who will reveal Hashem in the world. And that's why, as long as we don't have the ability to reveal Hashem, they have rights. They have rights to be in the land of Israel. It's not a problem of territory. It's a problem of who is revealing the name of Hashem. By the way, what was the source of, let's take the previous intifada. And again, I'm not getting into politics. What was the trigger for the intifada? Harabait. What is Harabait? That's a place where it's Be'er Lachai Ro'i or Hashem Yira Hashem Yira'eh. We want to see Hashem. That is a dispute. By the way, if we'll go back, you don't have to, you can see afterwards. In the Midrash we saw at the beginning from Birkei Rabbi Eliezer, the Midrash says, foresees and envisions many things that Ishmael will do in Israel, b'acharit hayamim, the days to come. And one of the things, the Midrash says, v'igderu pirtzot bet hamikdash, they will rebuild the fences of Beit HaMikdash, v'ivnu binyan ba'echal, and they will build their binyan, their building, in the place of the Echal. It appears in your record. You can see it afterwards. Mash at the first page. Meaning, it's a fight about how to reveal Hashem. And maybe the problem, our problem, is that we are speaking in different language. Not literally in different language. Of Hebrew is pretty much close to Arabic. That's not a problem. The problem is that they are speaking in a spiritual language and we are speaking in a secular language. And with that understanding, there's no chance to ever find any solution if we will not be able to change the terminology. Let's see Rambam for his. Rambam says, I highly recommend, we won't have the chance to go over all the Makor, I highly recommend afterwards. What? All their language is Allahu Akbar. That's their language. Whoever controls in the streets is Hamas because they speak in the religious, their religious language. We say Baruch Hashem. The question is whether the people who are negotiating are saying Baruch Hashem. Okay, that is a problem. Meaning, I wish to claim, and I'll get to that conclusion very soon, that the only way a peace process can succeed is if the rabbis will negotiate with the ayatollahs. Only that, because then you can speak in the same language. Then you can see, well, maybe it's a dream. Maybe I'm fantasizing. I don't know. But that's, if you want to try to understand the source of the, it's not a matter of territory. And we saw it after this disengagement. We gave them everything. Did it solve the problem? Did it stop the Qassams? No. And again, I'm not getting into any politics. Just speaking, that's facts. Because that is not the problem. It's something deeper. I must tell you a story, by the way. My wife participated so it was a conference that a Swiss organization organized in Switzerland. They were trying to bring Israeli representatives from all spectrum, from left wing, right wing, religious, non-religious. She was on the spot of the religious part, the rabbinical part, whatever. And from the other side, people from the PLO, from Hamas, whatever, she told me, she came back very upset because of the Israeli delegation, because of the huge gaps between the opinions, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. She came back very upset, surprised, because she told me that the people of the Hamas, throughout the conference, always, in every break, approach her and try to discuss more about our religion, about their religion, to try to make comparisons. And she was the only one from the Israeli delegation that they found a common language with. She was extremely surprised. She told me she couldn't get rid of them during Shabbat. She, they kept chasing after her. But that is the source of the problem. It's a spiritual problem. It started not 100 years ago. It started 3,000 years ago. Let's see the Rambam, source number 29. It says Rambam. מחשבות בורא עולם. אין כוח באדם להשיגם. We can't understand the ways of Hashem. כי לא דרכנו דרכה ולא מחשבותן מחשבותיו. He has his own ways to lead the world. וכל הדברים האלו של ישו הנוצרי ושל זה הישמעלי מוחמד שעמד אחריו, even though they caused lots of suffering to Am Israel, but yet it's part of the way of Hashem ליישר דרך למלך המשיח, to pave the path for the Mashiach. Because with all the problems, with all the issues we have with the Christianity, with the Islam, at the end of the day, they will lead the world to believe in one God. And in that sense, Ishmael can be the best assistance we have if you learn, if you understand the source of the problem. Because he's supposed to be our assistant. Ishmael is supposed to be the assistant of Yitzchak to bring, to reveal Hashem here in the world. But if you will not, until we'll realize that, maybe the role of Ishmael is to be the watchdog. To make us realize, to make us remember. Because that is what Chazar is saying in the following Midrash. In source number 33. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Saying Chazal the following. ולמה נקרא שמו ישמעאל? Why is he named Ishmael? It's amazing. שעתיד הקדוש ברוך הוא לשמוע בכל נעקת ישראל. He's named Ishmael because Hashem will in the future hear to our crying, to our cries. ישמע בכל נעקת ישראל ממה שעתידים ישמעאל לעשות להם בארץ בחיית הימים. Meaning, they will cause us to cry to Hashem, and Hashem will hear us. That whenever we are not revealing Hashem, they are fighting against us. And their role is to invoke us, to wake us up, to scream and to cry to Hashem, if we forget to do that. That is the source of the problem, according to the Midrash. Again, according to what we saw, the Bakol, that if we as a nation will be able to reveal Hashem, to deal with, to speak in a spiritual language, that might solve the problem. By the way, Reb Chaim Vital says exactly the following on Perek Tehillim, Kuf Kav Daled, Lulei Hashem Shalanu Yomar Neisrael. Let's move to the last page. Where is the last page? Yes, 35. Sefer Chaim Vital. Shir HaMalot says, Yesh od galut chamishi, after all the exiles we'll have. וקשה מכולם, that's the most difficult. והוא גלות ישמעאל, הנקרא פרא אדם. That's the galut of Ishmael. And says, Rav Chaim Vital, ואז יאמרו ישראל, בואו, בקום עלינו אדם, כמו שמצינו לסיבת היותו בן אברהם, ויש לו זכות אבות, ויש לו זכות המילה, ולכן גלותו תקפה משאר הגלויות. Meaning, he has the זכות of ברית מילה, the זכות of land of Israel, and therefore, it is the most difficult struggle that we have. וכמו שאמרו רבותינו, זיכרונם לברכה, כי נקרא ישמעאל, his name ישמעאל, שעתידים ישראל לצעוק צעקות גדולות, because we will scream and cry, because what he is doing to us. ואז ישמעם אל ויענם, and then Hashem will hear and will respond. Because that is the root of the problem, that we are speaking in a secular language. We might find a solution, but we need to completely change the disc, to change our terminology. Because it started 3,000 years ago, this conflict. I'll just give me just 1 minute. I just want to conclude with one more, maybe, suggestion for the future. And then we'll... I'll take one question. With your permission, Rabbi. Okay, just listen, see something again, it's a thought. It's a thought. I don't know. I'm just posing this out. So number 36. What happens after Sarah dies? Vitzchak, so number 36, Vitzchak ba mibo be'er lachai roi. Who sits in be'er lachai roi? Hagar and Ishmael. What's the meaning of ba mibo? Ba is coming. What is ba mibo? I think the pshat is that he always came back and forth, negotiations, peace negotiations. See Rashi, 38. Bo mibo be'er lachai roi, shalach lavi agar lavam aviv sheisena. He is dealing with the peace process. He's trying to bring Ishmael back. What happens in the end? Source number 39. After Avram dies, vayivach elokim et Yitzchak no vayeshev Yitzchak im be'er lachai roi. What's the meaning? Vayeshev im be'er lachai roi. He sat down with Ishmael together. Ishmael did tshuva in the end. Meaning, we have the fight, we have the war. Ishmael can be our best assistant to reveal Hashem here in the world. But we need to change the language. We need to move to spiritual language, because that is the source of the dispute, according to the Midrashim. Again, that is my idea, my suggestion, without trying to involve any politics. Just one question, and I need to run to the airport. Ishmael has part of that.
Yes, but he doesn't have it in the sense of
call. He has part of it. He has bakol. He has a little bit of bakol.
Okay.
Which is, okay. That's right, that's right. Okay, I'll try to explain this briefly. The thing is that because we are supposed to reveal Hashem, whenever we are not doing that, whenever we are doing exactly the opposite, so then the goal of Ishmael is to be the watchdog, to invoke us, to fight against us, and to make us cry to Hashem. Whenever we'll be in the Madrega that we will be connected with Hashem, then we can find the peace. Then Ishmael can join us. Because the role of Ishmael is to help us. How is he helping us? Again, it's not something which is cognitive. It's part of it's in the subconsciousness. But how does Ishmael help us? Sometimes by invoking us, by fighting against us. Sometimes by helping us. And now, because we are not yet in the level, because we are yet still speaking in the secular language, that is why we cannot yet find the solution. Again, that is what I'm suggesting according to Midrashim. Okay, I'm sorry.
I want him to make his plane. The plane literally leaves at 5:55, and I don't have to say anything more than that. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for being with us all day. We'll see you in 3 weeks, our next program right here. And next year again, the Yirmeyahu Hashem.